Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcasts currently feature the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu,
with a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening.
When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
This is the water on which God breathed, and the Spirit brooded when God began creating us, all creeping things, all races, male and female.
This is the water that drove up the trunk of the tree, whose branches bore the fruit we were not to taste.
This water covered the earth deeper than the Himalayas when God wanted to start over. This is the foot of the rainbow that's meant to tell us God won't destroy the creation again.
This is the water of the river Jabbok, where Jacob still wrestles with God. And this is the well where Joseph was left dead by his jealous brothers.
This is the water that opened at Moses' command when God led God's people out of slavery.
This is the water by which Miriam and the women danced the rhythms of liberation.
This water sprung from rocks in the desert when the people started whining to go back to the way things used to be.
These are the salty tears that King David shed when Nathan accused him of the worst sin. These are the tears that he shed when he pleaded to God for forgiveness and he received it.
These are the waters of Babylon by which our ancestors sat down and wept, their harps and tongues silent for homesickness.
And this is the water that broke in a barn in Bethlehem.
Out of this very water, John pulled a stunned Jesus in the River Jordan. That day they saw the dove and they heard from deep within a voice that said, "You are my beloved, in you my heart sings for joy." A few weeks ago, I had an opportunity to visit Pacific School of Religion, which is a seminary in Berkeley. And when I was there, there is a preacher, professor of preaching, Mary Donovan Turner. And she was sharing her own reflection about baptism. And I felt stunned as she shared it. So I want to begin with a few of her words. "I wonder what made Jesus follow that dirt path down that little road on the way to the Jordan River that day. Had he ever seen the Jordan before? Had he witnessed a baptism? For 30 years, he'd lived in Nazareth. So what happened to him in those days and weeks and months and years and decades? Was he formed and fashioned in the religious tradition of his parents? Had he been thinking about how he was going to spend his own life? Was he asking questions about his own work and what that would be and how it would be, what his vocation might be? Or had Jesus just heard some rumors about the powerful preaching of his cousin John? And did that fiery rhetoric call him to the waters? Those words of repentance and commitment and change. As I look at this water, I can see him standing at that water's edge, anxious, filled maybe with fear, looking at that river's water and remembering the scriptures that he had learned as a child and trusted since birth, words he had locked in his heart, a psalm or a song about a deer longing for a drink from the flowing stream, just as his own soul searched and longed to be quenched. Or maybe he remembered the words of the prophet, "Let justice and righteousness flow like the river waters that were now in his own sight." Could he have been remembering his wilderness wandering ancestors, the ones who'd gone long before him and crossed over that river Jordan centuries before, and on whose shoulders he now stood there, wading into the waters, ankle deep. And then a little further out, knee deep. And Jesus kept going, waist deep, until he was immersed in the flowing, the living river, immersed in the kind of water that is drawn into the roots of plants and trees so that they have life. The kind of water that produces fruit and leaves that bring us healing. Having before been moved and inspired and maybe brought to tears by ritual, Jesus went down into that watery chaos. And when he arose, when the water surface was broken, he heard a voice. "This is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." That's what that ritual was. It was a blessing, an affirmation of a relational God who looks to each of us and says, "You are my beloved. With you, I am well pleased." But the church is filled with broken folks who tend to forget that. And so baptism has a sketchy history in the church. See, sometimes the church has been embarrassed about baptism. And to be clear, we've never agreed upon it. Ever. We've never agreed about how to ritualize it or how to perform it. Throughout history, there are times when the foundation of baptism has felt so shaky that we've tried to create doctrine all around it to shore it up and keep it in a box, to ensure that baptism stays with us. See, its meaning is ambiguous and it's complex. It's richly layered and textured so that we can never say that baptism is this. Baptism is this. And yet that seems, at least to me, to be the secret to its power and its beauty and its mystery. It's that mystery that still calls and compels us to answer in all of its textures and complexity and beauty. The United Methodist Book of Worship talks about baptism in this way. Baptism is an act that looks back with gratitude on what God's grace has already accomplished. It is here and now an act of God's grace, and it looks forward to what God's grace will accomplish in the future. While baptism signifies the whole working of God's grace, much of it signifies from the washing away of sin to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit will need to happen during the course of a lifetime. Baptism anticipates a lifetime of further and deeper experiences of God, further acts of Christian commitment and ministries in the world. And that's precisely why we chose the reading this morning from Matthew 22. It's a reading that we believe points to the way that God longs for us to live out our baptismal covenant. Baptism is a beginning, not an end. And it feels to me like this is a pretty good place and witness to hold as we try to begin that journey. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Which one is the greatest? And Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God and love your neighbor. This is the deep that follows in the wake of baptism. It's okay. In a few moments, we're going to gather with children and with adults to share together the historic questions of our church. And we don't do this often in here. If you're here for the first time, I think I wear a tie every baptism. So that's it. So don't feel compelled when you come next Sunday to just all means all. Feel comfortable in however you arrive. We ask these historic questions, though, because we believe that they bind us to those who've gone before us. And just as Jesus stood there at the River Jordan on the shoulders of his ancestors, so too do we. We stand on the shoulders of those who have shaped this place and this life. And so we respond to the same questions that people have been holding for generations. On behalf of the whole church, we are going to ask these adults and the parents on behalf of their children, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent or turn around from your sin? That's fancy historic language in the church for what we say here at the table as do no harm. Are you going to commit to turning away from harm that you cause in your own life? And then we're going to turn to the next question. Do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? The way we talk about that in our community is, are you going to do all the good that you can in all the ways that you can? And will you commit to living that out? And then we're going to ask people to confess that Jesus Christ is their hope and Savior. We're going to ask them if they put their whole trust in God's grace and promise to serve him as our Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages and nations and races. That's our way of saying, are you going to intend and commit to staying in love with God? And is that God a God that says all means all? That's where we're going to hold ourselves. See, this was a radical thing in Jesus's day. We don't use the word Lord very often today, but in Jesus' day, to say that you are going to follow Jesus and he is your Lord means that you're saying that Caesar is not. I'm not going to follow the ways of empire. I'm going to follow the ways of Jesus, Lord. Lord that came not in the way that people imagine, but came to an unwed teen mom in the middle of nowhere and turned power upside down and said, follow me. To do that is to stand against empire. And that's to stand on shaky ground. It is not easy to do no harm and to do all the good that you can and to stay in love with God. I'm here to tell you that baptism offers no magic pill. The truth is that through these waters, we all will live and move and have our being, held by a God who loves us, but living in a world that always seems stacked against us. God will continue to call us toward beauty and justice and hope, but those waters will be troubled. The waters of our futures won't be calm, either for the children that will baptize and the parents that will watch over them in love, or for the adults who seek to turn toward God in this moment. We've been gathering the last couple of weeks around a worship series called How Deep and reflecting on Peter being called out onto the water by Jesus, and he starts to walk on that water, and then he realizes that there's a storm raging and he takes his eyes off Jesus and he starts to sink. That's part of our own journey That is the way of discipleship. We're called by Jesus toward hope and beauty and justice, and at moments we sink, and it's why we listen and gather in kitchen tables here to be in it together. To remind ourselves that John pulled Jesus up out of that water and they heard a voice that said, "You are my beloved. In you I am well pleased." And we say and mirror that exact moment as we gather this day. Jesus went from his waters into a wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights. It's my sense that our worship series is trying to help us think a little bit about our own wilderness. So next week we're going to gather. We're going to gather and we're going to recommit ourselves to our baptismal vows. And we as a people are going to say, we want to follow in the ways of Jesus as well. And we're going to ask people to do that around four areas. This is who we are as a people. We long to root our lives in grace. So we're going to ask each other, how are we going to do that? Through worship and prayer. And what is that going to look like for us? God doesn't want us to just stay right where we are. God longs for us to grow. So we're going to reflect on what is our growth going to look like in the year ahead. How might we come forward for baptism or begin Blueprint or join a kitchen table, or if we've been in a kitchen table, to go deeper in that? We're going to ask one another, how are we going to reach in love? How are we going to love our neighbors? And how are we going to give generously? Next Sunday is our commitment Sunday, in which we will give thanks to a God whose waters of baptism have shaped us and continue to shape us, recognizing that baptism is a beginning and not an end. So however we come, whatever is in our hearts and minds, as we move towards this water, ankle deep, knee deep, immersed, God is calling us deeper into a journey of faith, giving us courage to say yes back to God, and giving us thanks for these families and adults who are saying yes to God this day, who long to go out in that River Jordan in this very place, to touch God's healing waters, and then to live in those healing waters in the world. May we come to these waters together in the hope of that grace and the one who stood at the river so long ago. Amen.
Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water.
Eric Lee,
Ranger Holden, Aaron,
Damon,
Emily Olivia, Emily Selma Wren, Gabrielle Rose,
Bailey Cadence,
Michael Peter, Christopher Michael,
Christopher Ryan,
Randall Key,
Bambi Lynn,
Michael Warren,
Jacob Wendell. I baptize you in the name of God, Creator.
In the name of Jesus, our Redeemer.
In the name of the Holy Spirit, who is our Sustainer. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I could just sit. I could just sit and wait for all your goodness. Hope to feel your presence. And I could just stay. I could just stay right where I am and hope to feel you, hope to feel something again. And I could hold on, and I could hold on to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. And I could be safe, oh, I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home, never let these walls down. But you have called me higher, you could hold on. I could hold on to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. And I could be safe, oh, I could be safe right in your arms and never leave home. Never let these walls down, but you have called me deeper. You have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You have called me deeper. You have called me deeper.